and thank you for the peace which you have filled us, and send us into your world as agents of forgiveness in new life. Amen. These five verses of John chapter 20 takes us into imagining the scene in a locked room immediately on the evening of the resurrection day. The time is still part of Easter day, and the disciples gathered are supposed to be celebrating. Yet they are not. Has the joy of the empty tomb not yet displaced the terror of the cross? Perhaps the joy of Mary Magdalene's report that she had seen the Lord has not yet overcome their trauma. For their leader has been brutally executed, and the religious authorities who planned his death are still at large. Every footstep in the street, every tap at the door might mean arrest. Their fear has driven them into paralysis, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, prompting them to shut themselves behind confined space. The moment they are called to stand, so full of promise, has collapsed into hiding. This is more than just an old sin, isn't it? Because many of us live in our own self-spaces of anxiety, prior failure, sadness, economic instability, broken relationships, or societal prejudice towards religion. This shut the doors of our hearts, and for some, they hide away in actual isolation. Others hide behind some activities, that's fair enough. Denial or absence of interest. We tend to fear of exposure, rejection, or the cost of following a crucified and resurrected Lord. Yet it is precisely into our fear, filled in sealed spaces, the risen Lord Jesus will meet us. This is not just historical narrative. It is a pattern for life. Our passage today is not merely a resurrection appearance story, but a scenario of a creation of new identity, commissioning, forgiveness in a church birthing moment where Jesus himself breathed on them that started the life of his church until today. Then John narrates, it is evening on that day, the first day of the week. This is the night of the day of resurrection. The disciples were together inside that space which was locked. In the original context, John uses a specific Greek word, keklesmenon, which means that the door was not simply closed, but firmly barricaded. Merely for one simple reason, the disciples locked themselves inside for their fear of the Jewish leaders. The fear which is political and religious. These are the authorities who had just crucified Jesus and might now come to his followers. And this is what the disciples feared. The same religious authority and imperial power that destroyed Jesus can turn on them next. It is not an ethnic group that they are fearful of, but what power can do to them? Jesus had been executed as a perceived threat, and those associated with him could also be targeted. Fear results in paralysis. The first day of the week is Resurrection Day, the beginning of new creation in Christ. The context is theological, not incidental. In Genesis, creation begins with light breaking into darkness. In John's Gospel, resurrection begins with light breaking into fear, not in victory, not in faith, but trembling in isolation. And here is where the risen Christ decides to appear, not waiting for us to find courage, not requiring us to open the doors as a test of faith, but walking into the midst of our fear. Jesus, just risen earlier that day, chose to appear, rescuing his disciples in their moments of dismay. John has no explanation for how Jesus was inside. It's simply, no locked doors can keep him outside. While doors are still locked, Jesus stands among them. And his first words are not rebuke or condemnation, but showing compassion and of love. Peace be with you. Or in Hebrew, the word means shalom aleichem. In the Hebrew scriptures, shalom is not just the absence of strife, but also wholeness, reconciliation, and the flourishing of all things in their established order. We can see the undoing of the bloodshed happened on that Good Friday, but the risen Christ speaks calmness into the dead end of their sorrow. Let us note that Jesus repeated, "Peace be with you." He repeated it twice. The first statement is a gift, and the second, a commission. The first peace is consolation. The second, authorization. In between these two declarations of shalom, something important took place. John says, he showed them his hands in his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. The body of Jesus did not gloriously change, covering over agony, but was a body with the scars of crucifixion. And now the gathering community sees the hands that would later be touched by Thomas, the side where the soldier's spear penetrated is still open. Jesus does not resurrect with glorified amnesia, but he is risen as the wounded healer. His sacrifice is inseparable from his identity. The disciples cannot rejoice in a Jesus who has avoided pain. They celebrate only when they perceive that this is actually the Lord, the one who was crucified, the one who carried the weight of the sins of the world, is now alive. The risen Christ demands his wants to be seen, and is not ashamed of his sufferings. The scars indeed are the credentials of his sacrifice in love that is triumphant over death in suffering. His scars offered us hope in reassurance, transforming our fears into faith and his victory over sin in death. The second, peace be with you, shifted instantly into a mission. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. This is a commissioning for mission by the risen Christ, reminding us of our calling to continue his work of spreading love, forgiveness, and salvation to all people. Just as the Father sent Jesus to bring light into the world, we too are sent out to be beacons of hope and reconciliation in a broken world. When Jesus had said the commissioning statement, he breathed on them and told them to receive the Holy Spirit. Parallel to what God did in Genesis, where God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. The first Adam received spirit and became a living being, while these new Adams and Eves received the Holy Spirit and become the church, the community of the blood both redeemed. The Holy Spirit, the new church received, is the spirit of the crucified and risen Jesus. The same spirit that drove him to the cross, the same spirit that raised him, and the same spirit that well sustained him when they too faced the locked doors of opposition and death. And with this breath comes authority. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. In the context of John's gospel, sin is primarily unbelief, the refusal to receive the light that has come into the world. We as the community is given the authority to announce the forgiveness won by Christ on the cross. We are commissioned as ambassadors of reconciliation, carrying the case to the kingdom, not to lock people out, but to open the doors of grace, doors that should never be barred. To forgive sins is to take part in very life of the Trinity, where mercy flows like a river from the Father, through the Son and the Spirit. Likewise, we must attend to the breath and receive it. In this world, gasping for air, literally in climate, in war crisis, figuratively, in anxiety, in choking loneliness, Jesus breathed his spirit. This is the simulating power of the mission for us to go forth as the Father sent the Son, not to dominate, but to serve, not to condemn, but to heal, not to retreat into locked spaces, but to unlock doors for others. The Lord be with you.